Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 43, and Jesus is here addressing us in his Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy," but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I'd like to begin today by reading a poem for you. It's a very nice poem that may make you think about your mom, have tender thoughts about your mom. When your mother has grown older, when her dear faithful eyes no longer see life as they once did, when her feet, grown tired, no longer want to carry her as she walks, then lend her your arm in support. Escort her with happy pleasure. The hour will come when, weeping, you must accompany her on her final walk. Those touching, tender words were written by the great poet Adolf Hitler. Yes, I kid you not. And it shows that even someone like Adolf Hitler can have loving thoughts toward someone, somebody who could be that full of evil and hatred. Jesus in our text talks about that people who could care less about God and about the gospel, people who are pagan, they have no trouble loving people that have shown them love and kindness. They have no trouble being able to show kindness and compassion and tenderness and love to people that have done nice things for them. That's an easy one. Everybody gets that. But Jesus holds a far different standard up to the members of his church. He puts a much higher bar to be reached when he says this, "Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Now, that's not the message we get from the world. The world likes to antagonize us when it comes to feeling like we have a right to be angry with someone. The world likes to stir that up inside of us. Our culture likes to agitate us, to feel that we have every right to go after somebody who has wronged us. In fact, Hollywood taps into this streak of vengeance that's inside of all of us. It feels good to watch one of our great heroes on the screen go after somebody that has wronged him and his family so badly. Movie stars have made millions of dollars off of that streak of vengeance that they tap into inside of us, that we feel like, yes, that's justice. That person should have gotten what was coming to them. And so we naturally can feel that way when someone has wronged us in our lives. But how different the words of Jesus are when he tells us to pray for those who are our enemies and to show kindness and love toward those who have spitefully used us. Now, I've had times in my life when that's been challenging for me to try to do. Can't say I've done it perfectly. But I think how hard it is, especially for people that have had really awful things happen to them because of someone else's just horrific evil toward them. I've counseled a number of women through issues of sexual abuse, even from people in their own family. And I just can't imagine how hard that must be to try to let go of that sin. As the Bible says, love keeps no record of wrong. To just want to feel like you have such right justice, it feels so right to hold that over that person's head. Or maybe some other form of abuse that's happened to you, or maybe somebody spread a rumor about you that wasn't true. There's so many different ways we can be hurt and offended when someone else does something evil and wrong against us. And it's very hard for us to let that go when we feel like we're in such a right position of justice. One of the commentators on this text says it very simply. He says, "Look at how high Christ puts the target. Look at how high Christ puts the target. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus wants the members of his church to exhibit a type of love that is beyond the atheist, that is beyond Adolf Hitler, that is beyond the pagans of this world. He wants us to be able to exhibit a type of love and mercy toward people that is reflective of how God has been toward us. That's why St. Paul said to the Romans, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Someone that went to seminary with me years ago told me the story that he and his wife had had an argument one night, and they got a little bit into an argument and not quite yelling at each other, but because of that, one of them, the man decided to take a walk out and leave the apartment for a while, and finally came back in, and here his wife, he said, was making brownies. And he said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm heaping coals of burning fire on your head." The Bible talks about how when you show love towards someone who has been in a position of being your enemy, that makes it challenging for them to have to kind of come back with things too. St. Paul says, again, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus wants those who believe in him to reflect what his work on the cross has done for each one of us. Notice what he says. Notice why Jesus tells us we should do this. He says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, that you may be the children of the God who has sent his Son into the world to save you. All of us, were clearly enemies of God. Our wicked hearts have cursed him and despised him and shown disobedience toward him so often in our lives. We've persecuted Christ in that way, about every way that you can imagine. But notice in the Bible that God didn't wait for us to make a change before he would come and love us. Notice that God didn't wait to see us come and apologize first for all the garbage that we've done before him before he would send his Son. No, Paul says it well. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're in the midst of our depravity, while we're in the midst of our wickedness before God, he sends his Son. That's the kind of mercy and compassion he has had toward us. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Not the righteous for those who are trying to be righteous. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God, Paul says. Despite our exaggerated imperfection in front of God, he chose instead to come and give us the perfection of his Son and his holiness on our record. And so the love that we can show toward our enemies is a little picture and a reflection of that greater love that has been showed toward us by Christ. And you can see that heart of Christ in his passion history. Just when you hear in the Lenten season all the different readings of Christ's passion, think about how frequently he was putting his enemies, the very people that were driving stakes through his hands, and he's praying for them, and he's loving them. You can see it in the first martyr, Stephen, as he's being stoned to death by his own community, as rocks are pummeling his body. What does he cry out? "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." The undeserved love that we have received from God because of Christ, God wants that now to stir up our hearts in a way that we show love even toward our greatest enemies. He wants this to be the marks of his followers, the very things that identifies us in this world. Martin Luther had a great way to put things, and listen to what he says. I love this. "A Christian must act like a good apple tree, which offers and displays its fruits to everyone and even distributes them among the swine and the bad beasts that tear at its roots." So the Christian is to be like a good apple tree that presents these fruits of faith no matter who is going to be eating them. Peter said it this way, "Live such lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Isn't that interesting? Glorify God on the day he visits us. On Judgment Day, God is looking forward to hear from the mouths of unbelievers praise for the love that was shown to them by his children who believed in Christ. That's quite an amazing thing. Christianity teaches us, in a sense, that perfection comes in two different forms. One form is already attained and accomplished. That's the perfection that you need to get into heaven, that God has done completely for you through the work of Christ. And just hold on to that and believe that. But the second one is a striving toward perfection that Christians should have in this life, which we never quite reach. That which God desires to see and wants to see us striving towards and progressing towards as we follow his commandments. But by his grace, he has already given us that perfect record that will bring us to heaven. May we show that in our daily lives. Amen. Please turn to page 161 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 161, collect number 107. Let's rise and join together in those words. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that you have granted us to live in this accepted time when we may hear your holy gospel, know your fatherly will, and behold your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, most merciful Father, let the light of your holy word remain with us and so govern our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may never forsake your word, but remain steadfast in it, and finally obtain eternal salvation. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.